Historical Society is pleased and excited to host this event.
The most important thing is that you go out there and you have fun. You can play bumper boats if you want to. Don't try to sink your neighbor.
Okay, we're going to start the single division right now.
Coming to you from the corner of Washington and Central in Bay St. Louis Depot District, welcome to Art.PSL, the podcast with a finger on the pulse of the buzzingest arts and culture scene on the Gulf Coast. I'm your host, Steve Barney, the Mad Potter. Join me and my illustrious team of insiders, wise guys, and know-it-alls every week as we take a deep dive journey into what's happening in Old Town, the Depot District, and all across the coast. So buckle your seatbelt, sit back, and get ready for the next episode of Art.PSL. Welcome to Art.BSL, Episode 3, July 16th, 2021. I'm your host, Steve Barney, the Mad Potter. On today's episode, we meet Bernie Cullen, one of the most humble and busiest community servants in Hancock County. Bernie will tell us about her work in the community, the history of Waveland's Ground Zero Hurricane Museum, and the legacy of Lily Stoller. Then I go down to the Bay St. Louis Harbor with Art.BSL special correspondent Edmund Meyer for the Hancock County Historical Society's cardboard boat race. Then it's back to the Ground Zero Museum to learn all about the Smithsonian traveling exhibition Crossroads in Rural America. The Art.BSL podcast is brought to you by the generous financial support of our listeners. Click the Be a Patron button from the Podbean app to learn more about how you can support our production costs through crowdfunding. And thanks for your support.
As Steve turned onto Coleman Avenue, as he approached the museum, he was greeted by a battalion of asphalt paving trucks and an overpowering smell of hot petroleum and asphalt filled the thick summer air as an army of workers were putting the finishing touches around the building, just in time for the grand opening of the Smithsonian Traveling Exhibition, Crossroads in Rural America. Before discussing the exhibit, Steve got a chance to talk with Bernie Cullen and catch up on everything she's been up to.
I'm here today with Bernie Cullen, the chair of the board for the Waveland Ground Zero Hurricane Museum.
Hi, Steve. Nice to be here.
It's nice to see you sitting down. You've been running around here for weeks and weeks putting this together. I just want to spend a little bit of time talking about you.
Okay, let's do it.
Before you retired, you were a national leader in the field of nursing.
I really enjoy leadership. I enjoy mentorship. And so when I retired from nursing, I thought that in a volunteer role, I could bring some of my skills.
Well, the leadership that you're able to bring to the volunteerism is incredible.
That's the kind of stuff that I'm good at. So it's just kind of been a easy transition for me from using it in my work environment to using it in my volunteer life.
What brought you and Terry down to Waveland?
Hey, you know, we're the New Orleans kind of kids from the 1960s.
Yeah.
And we all came down to Waveland. We were the kind of people who basically came for a day in a car with a bunch of teenage kids to the beach. We came here looking at weekend homes. In 1997, Waveland became our primary residence, and we had an apartment in New Orleans by our work.
Tell me a little bit about all the other organizations that you're involved with. It's a long list.
Steve, I'm glad this is audio because you're making me blush. Okay. But, you know, the arts has really, I got to say something about the arts first. Because,
yeah,
you know, Janet Densmore and Regan Carney corralled mm-hmm. me, okay, and said, you know, we could really use you. Have loved the arts. I have met so many wonderful people. It's expanded my knowledge, my horizon. My big passion is actually probably Relay for Life for Hancock County.
That's an organization that benefits the American Cancer Society, is that right?
That's right, Steve. The American Cancer Society, Relay for Life, is actually the biggest campaign that addresses all types of cancers. So many people in my family that it has truly become a mission for me.
Yeah, we've all been touched by it.
Yeah, we have.
The Dancing with the Relay Stars event, that is so much fun. And I'm going to get out there and dance one of these days.
Oh, everybody, you heard Steve say it here. We have it recorded.
You're also involved with the library.
Yes, I am. I've been on the library board for about 9.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been, again, I'm an only child, so I've always been a reader. I love the fact that we can help children and other adults who really need the library services. That's been a very nice feeling for me to be part of a library system.
You're also involved with Keep Waveland Beautiful.
Yes, I am. I got on the committee. I love to garden, so this was great. Had done a Master Gardener program, so I wanted to learn more, and I wanted to really, you know, make Waveland prettier and cleaner.
People may not realize that one plant or that one flower, but when you put the whole community together, it really makes a difference.
See, let me tell you, this is really a pretty cool thing. You know, Lily Stoller Murphy was one of the founders of this museum. You know, it was very hard last year when she passed away. Their family actually went to the Day Lily Association.
Really?
And we now have a lily named for her. And there are six plants out in the circle by the museum. They bloomed this week while we were getting everything ready for the Smithsonian.
That's really special.
And they have like a mauve purple color along with blue and yellow.
They sound gorgeous, just like Lily. Tell me a little bit more about Lily.
Oh, Lily. Lily was a force to be reckoned with, let me tell you. I miss her every
day. She sure was.
You know, Lily had this vision about the Smithsonian. She heard about these traveling exhibits. Now, this would be so much fun to do. Don't you girls think so? And we're like, sure, Lily, this sounds great. Smithsonian has a whole department called Museums on Main Street. Uh-huh. And so it comes to rural America and to main streets and small towns. So, you know, it really did fit Waveland and Hancock County beautifully. The moment we finished installation on Wednesday, I got a beer, I sat here and I talked to Lily, and I just cried my eyes out. But I think she is very happy right now.
Well, her spirit's here and she is very happy. It's an amazing exhibition. Tell me a little bit. Lily liked to swim?
You're going to go there, huh, Steve? Lily liked to exercise in her pool. Okay. And Lily did nothing halfway, as you know.
Yeah.
So Lily had an outside TV that we would put from easy aerobics to Pilates in the pool. And she invited me to come do this. We wound up having about a 10 group of women who would do this every day. And so Lily penned the term Swim and Women.
Swim and Women are legendary, and it's a great way to honor Lily.
Art.bsl comes to you from the production studios of the BSL Creative Arts Center at the corner of Washington and Central Streets in the Depot District. The Creative Arts Center, profiled in the June 2021 issue of Southern Living Magazine, features a well-equipped pottery studio, teaching classes in wheel throwing, and hen building for all ages. Learn more at bslcac.com.
You know, we're going to talk more about this Crossroads exhibition, but can you just tell me just a little bit about the museum and its mission? And
Lily and her cousin, Basil Kennedy, who is still our treasurer, had this idea about having a museum about Hurricane Katrina. And that sounds pretty horrible to those of us who lived through it. Okay, it's like, what were you guys thinking? But what they decided, and I love this, is that the museum does tell the tale about the days coming up to Katrina, how it devastated this area. But probably more important, it talks about the resiliency and the love of this community. Yeah. We have an oral history room now with a wonderful, wonderful video that really it interviews many of the residents who were here and who have rebuilt. And there's usually not a dry eye that comes out of there, but it's a beautiful story the way it, again, goes from disaster to recovery.
But this is the place we call it the Ground Zero Museum because it's kind of the epicenter of where it happened.
Anderson Cooper from CNN actually coined the term Ground Zero for Waveland because when he came, he said the same thing that visitors say all the time. All we heard about was New Orleans. We had no idea that Mississippi was hit so hard.
Yeah, you know, the mainstream media really focused on what's going on in New Orleans, which was really a flooding event, and this really was ground zero.
Yeah, we still laugh at the fact that in the news during the time, we were the landmass between New Orleans and Alabama.
Well, Bernie, I want to thank you for joining me. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the Crossroads Changes in Rural America exhibit at Waveland's Ground Zero Hurricane Museum. Thanks for coming in, Bernie.
Thanks, Steve.
Art.bsl comes to you from the production studios of the BSL Creative Arts Center at the corner of Washington and Central Streets in the Depot District. Build anything you can imagine in our fab shop with metal wood and fiberglass. Print your own t-shirts in the screen printing studio. Learn mosaics with the plate thief. 3D printing, drone photography, podcast production, and so much more at the Coast's most eclectic makerspace. Learn more at BSLCAC.com.
Last week in Bay St. Louis Harbor, it was a morning of fierce competition, mishaps, and hijinks for the Hancock County Historical Society's inaugural cardboard boat race. Steve was there with special correspondent Edmund Meyer to cover all the action.
The Hancock County Historical Society is pleased and excited to host this event. When you're done with your boat, regardless of where it might end the race, en route at the finish line, please bring all the miscellaneous postcards back and stack them by the stairs.
I'm here with Edmund Meyer.
Hey, Steve. Good morning.
What the heck is going on here?
We're apparently having a cardboard boat race this morning.
Let's see if we can find someone to talk to about what's going on here. Okay, I'm here with Al Copeland. You built a pirate ship, but...
Hey, good morning, Steve. We're out here to support the Historical Society.
Today they're the Hysterical Society.
Exactly. It's going to be very hysterical. So we built a pirate ship boat all out of cardboard, so it's going to be interesting to see how far we're going to go. If we go down, we're going to take a lot of other boats with us. That's what pirates do. We don't go out without a fight. And then you got to carry your boat out into the water until you can get into it. Then you jump in the boat, you paddle around the buoy and back to the beach, if you make it that far. I think the course is, total 150 feet out and back.
Yeah, but the real dangerous thing, it's over 300 feet deep, right?
Exactly. So everybody might not make it back to the beach. My crew member, Bruce Cavill, he might not. He's just ballast right now, but if I have to eject him, he's gone.
The first start is going to be for single-handed, just to let you know. And your starting line is between two flags just off the beach, and you and your boat have to be on the land side of that starting line. You can push your boat or paddle it if you choose to do so. But you go around that orange mark over there. You leave it to your port side. Leave it to the left side, round that mark, come back. And you haven't finished until you and your boat have crossed the finish line. Trust that everybody's received a copy of the sailing instructions. If you haven't, let us know. Hey, that's a violation of the last paragraph.
That's what pirates do.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right. The most important thing is that you go out there and you have fun. You can play bumper boats if you want to. Don't try to sink your neighbor. It's not fair to try to sink your neighbor. That's unfair. But go out and have a good time.
Okay, we're going to start the single division right now. The single division right now, single-handed. That means only one person to a boat, Mike Hansen. And if y'all can go ahead and line up, and we will get ready to start. You'll hear the gun. Once you hear the gun, then you start the race. So go ahead and get lined up.
Looks like the competitors are lining up here. Edmund Meyer, give us the update on the solo race.
We had about 8 contestants out there. One of the kids from Bay High took it first place all by himself. So we had the submarine boat that came off to a really fast start, and he was
maybe a little top heavy though.
Yeah. Well, what happened? He was almost into turn one when he did a little topside, came over.
How you doing, Mike?
Doing good. How about y'all?
We're doing great. What did you think of that first round of those?
Oh, that was pretty awesome. They did very well. I'm waiting to see the tag team action now with the boats.
Who built that one?
Paul Taylor built it for the city. The cannon's on the front right there.
Well, we wish the city best of luck, but you're going to have to watch out for Al Copeland and Bruce Cabell in the other pirate ship. They're going to take you out.
Yeah, I think we're going to sabotage that boat before they get started. They got it too good.
Well, thanks for coming out and talking to us, Mayor Mike. Team competition just completed. Give me the full rundown, Edmund.
Oh, it was a good one, Steve. So, race two, the pirate ship came out smoking. The one with Al Copeland and...
Mike Hansen actually helped build that one, too. And Bruce Cabell was on that one.
Right. So, they came out swinging. They made it all the way out to the turn, really in first place. And then they got hung up in traffic. They couldn't seem to make the turn all the way around.
A lot of paddles flying.
So when everybody got in the turn at the same time, it kind of threw Alan and Bruce out of the fold. The Dragon Boat, that's where he kind of came in.
Yeah.
And made the turn, and boy, he swung it back. It was a kid from Hancock High and Stanislaus. That was the team there. And so they brought it in, and they came in first place all by themselves. And I'm very impressed that more boats didn't sink. I thought a lot of them were going to sink.
Okay, the race committee is about to make the announcements. Let's listen in.
Sounds good.
Coming in first, number one, Adam Schiff. First place goes to Brady Frondner and Jordan Talbot.
Okay, so we have the second race, second place winners, Madison and Emma.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. Give us a little rundown of what the competition was like.
It was really scary at first, but when we got out there, we realized, oh my gosh, we're in front. And then whenever we kept going, kept getting bumped into, and then we realized we were really close to second place, and we got second place.
Who was giving the orders out on the boat there?
I think Madison was definitely giving out the orders, telling me which way to steer.
Can you tell me a little bit about how this boat got built?
Over about a month, we taped together layers of cardboard, sealed it with polyurethane, and then spent about a week painting it.
Well, fantastic. So many people put so much work into it. It was such a great turnout. Did you think you'll learn anything and come back next year?
Yes, definitely. It was super fun.
The Art.BSL podcast is brought to you by the generous financial support of our listeners. Click the Be a Patron button from the Podbean app to learn more about how you can support our production costs through crowdfunding. Get a cool art.bsl t-shirt and other cool swag, and thanks for your support.
As Steve entered the Ground Zero Hurricane Museum for his interview with Bernie, in the hallway to the right were 16 giant shipping crates stacked to the ceiling like a real-world game of Tetris. The crates were marked Sites, Smithsonian, Institution, Traveling, Exhibit, Services. Bernie gave us an insider story of this amazing exhibition, Crossroads, Changes in Rural America.
Tell me a little bit about it, Bernie.
Well, Steve, I can't even describe my face when those 16 crates came up in the 18-wheeler. We did get it all put together, and I had five guys who were installers with me, and I couldn't have done it without them. But it's the coolest exhibit. But it's six huge panels, okay?
Yeah.
And there's an introductory panel that greet you when you walk in the door. I mean, we're sitting in the auditorium now, so I'm going to kind of try to visualize it for you.
Yeah, please.
So, you know, every panel, though, the cool thing is that it's not sequential. So each panel stands alone. So you can kind of mosey all around the museum.
So they're organized like thematically.
Yeah, but standalone themes.
Right.
So, like, you know, we have Creating Identity, and it talks about, you know, through an artist's eye, and it's got all kind of interesting pictures from the history of the United States and especially rural America, like farmland and cotton pickers and different things. So, you know, it's a cool exhibit. Every panel has some sort of interactive piece, whether it's some videos that just loop. They actually come on at 7 a.m. They turn off at 10.
I think I hear one of them in the background.
You will hear one. It's probably, what does rural mean to you? Mm-hmm. And then there's like a little bookshelf about books that would be interesting to children and adults. And every panel has things you can touch. So, you know, please bring your kids, because this is not a museum where you can't bring kids. You know, we want kids to come. We want school kids to come. We want preschool kids to come as well.
Sure.
And so, like, there's another huge panel behind us called Creating the Land. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, it's got flip charts and things that kids can use. There's a huge, huge panel in the back that's called about just the whole sense of community. And if there's anything to me that relates to Waveland and Hancock County, it's community. You know, we talked about that before. You know, we have stayed here. We trying to rebuild our county, rebuild our cities. So community is a great one. There's a little audio box on community, and you can press a button and you hear different. It's sequential. There's five different stories that you can hear. When you get to the last two, you will hear some songs, but just little snippets of those songs. But it proves its point.
Yeah.
There's another one that is basically change. And when you think about change, again, look at all that we've been through. We've been through a lot with storms. We've been through a lot with rebuilding. We're still fighting flood maps,
yeah.
You know, and then we had COVID. So, you know, talk about resiliency. I think that's exactly why we were one of the six that were picked to host this wonderful exhibit. There's an interactive kiosk mm-hmm. where basically, you know, you touch the screen to begin and you can choose the kind of stories that you want to hear.
Yeah.
So, you know, these six panels tell a real good story, and every single panel will relate to the person who comes here in a different way. We were very excited. There's North Mississippi, the middle of Mississippi, and then we are the only one on the coast. And I have to give a big shout out to Lily's husband, Donald Murphy, mm-hmm. because when we did the grant proposal, he coined the phrase from Logtown to infinity. And you think of changes in rural America, you can't mm-hmm. get more change than our journey from Logtown to infinity.
There's some photographs along the exterior walls. Can you tell me about those pictures?
Sure. These are great pictures. These are one-of-a-kind, priceless pictures. On August 28th, mm-hmm. 2005, Mike Smith, who is now our mayor, was mm-hmm. and he had the wherewithal to go around the city and take these pictures of the day before Katrina. And again,
wow.
They're priceless. I mean, it's for those of us who have been here, it's a walk down memory lane. I mean, you see Dempsey's, you see that cute little shop. You see all kinds of things that you know were here before. Some things have come back. Some of the homes have come back, for
right.
sure. But, you know, some things haven't. But it's nice to be able to remember them here in this room.
You know, in addition to these photos, if we go into the locals' room, there's all this content now that makes the bridge from kind of rural living that's presented by the Smithsonian to really content focused on Hancock County.
That room now hosts all the local displays that is part of the Smithsonian. You were right to say that, you know, when you get the Smithsonian, you have to then engage locally. How can you connect your community to what Smithsonian mm-hmm. story is? So what we decided to do is we basically have 10 panels in that mm-hmm. room, and those panels represent the three cities, Bay St. Louis, Waveland, and Diamond Head.
Mm-hmm.
And we also chose to have three more panels that talked about the towns of Pearlington, Kill, Claremont Harbor. You know, and that's why we did it. We
right.
wanted to make sure that those three towns got some good coverage. When people
got any coverage, right?
That's true. Yeah. That's true. And then we said, okay, well, that's not good enough. So we have four more panels that kind of talk about the county in general. And those panels are historical markers. We uh-huh. said, let's go ahead and take pictures and describe and locate where these markers are, because, you know, it's very easy to be driving down a street, see a marker, but you can't stop because, you know, there's traffic.
Right.
We also did one on Stennis.
Mm-hmm.
We did one on crossing the Bay St. Louis, and it's very interesting. It's the history of all the different ways that we've crossed the Bay of Bay St. Louis. And then
that's fascinating.
I have to say that my favorite out of all of them, though, is the panel that talks about the contributions and the history of African Americans in Hancock County.
Mm-hmm.
There's such a rich history of the influence and the contributions that in my future, I hope next year to be able to expand that and make that just one temporary exhibit.
There is so much there, so much behind the whole story, so much behind the famous black artists.
There's two cool things. One is the Labatt family, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there is Lori Gordon made a quilt. It's called a Labatt quilt,
mm-hmm.
and that actually hangs in the Smithsonian in D.C. And mm-hmm. then Richmond Barthay, who's been a very famous sculptor, a native of Bay St. Louis, his work is all over the world.
And also, it's at a piece of it. It's at the library. Is that right?
Yes. Bay St. Louis Library has a piece of Barthay sculpture. But we have a CD player in there, and so we chose CDs that would be songs that were actually sung by people who at one time performed at 100 Men's Hall.
Yeah, and the 100 Men Hall is a whole part of the rich history, of course, on the Mississippi Blues Trail. You're enhancing with presentations by some people in the community. So you've got some weekly presentations going on. Can you tell me just a little bit about that?
Sure. It is part of what you commit to when you agree to a Smithsonian exhibition. You have to have a lecture series.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Steve, I'm going to kind of give kudos to you. As part of the arts, when mm-hmm. you were in the Leadership Academy, you realized that there's not been a really good story about the artist's contribution.
Right.
So, you know, you doing a maker's right. however you call it. I call it creative economy because one thing you're going to do with your presentation in July is you're going to talk about how artists really contribute to the economy of this of this county. And it's huge. You know, when we look at, you know, travel magazines, TripAdvisor, you know, they talk about being an artist colony and about, you know, the fact that now Waveland's got Studio Waveland too. Yeah. Plus, we have a lot of artists who live in Waveland. So, you know, having you as a lecturer to me was one of the top things I wanted to do. And then when, you know, I called Lazy Magnolia and they said that we could do your presentation there, that's just a really cool place considering in the Kill display, we talk a lot about moonshine. Yeah. So, you know, we're doing that. You know, Art Clementon's doing something again on African-American influence and history. Christian Stevenson's going to do something about agriculture. So, you know, we really have six good lecture series. Those schedules will be in the Shoe Fly. They'll be in the Seacoast Echo. We have different flyers throughout the county.
Yeah, the Shoe Fly article is a fantastic source of information about the exhibition. So, you know, Bernie, we really do hope that this exhibition is a catalyst for more work that you do in exhibit development, you know, more lecture series and a new role for the Waveland Ground Zero Hurricane Museum. So thanks so much for joining us here today on the Art BSL podcast.
Thank you, Steve. I loved being with you.
Thanks. The Crossroads Changes in Rural America exhibition is in town for just a few weeks, from July 3rd to August 14th, 2021. Don't miss your opportunity to check it out. It's at Waveland's Ground Zero Hurricane Museum at 335 Coleman Avenue. The museum is open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. The Crossroads exhibition will be enhanced with a lecture series. On July 21st, I'll be giving a lecture entitled Creative Economy. I'll share some video interviews from various artists in our community. The event will be held at Lazy Magnolia Brewery in the Kiln. The lecture starts at 6:30 p.m. Come early to order some food and tasty beverages. On July 24th, Dr. Christian Stevenson from the Mississippi State Agricultural Extension will discuss changes over time in agriculture and horticulture. The lecture will be held at the Waveland Library at 6:15 p.m. On July 28th, Art Clementon will present Black History and Influence. This program will acknowledge the strong influence and contribution made to Hancock County by our Black ancestors and current leaders. Held at the Purlington Library, the lecture starts at 6:15 p.m. On August 4th, Logtown to Infinity with Allison Anderson and Brem Bell. This lecture will highlight the changes in our community from the days of Logtown to the contributions at Stennis. Held at Bay St. Louis Library, the lecture starts at 6:15 p.m. Wrapping up the Crossroads Lecture Series on August 11th is John Green. Dr. Green will discuss population data and trends in Hancock County, covering the changes between 2000 and 2010. Held at Studio Waveland, the lecture starts at 6:15 p.m. For more info, check out the Crossroads exhibition article in Wendy Sullivan's Living Large feature in the Shoe Fly magazine at bslshoefly.com. And while you're there, check out a full rundown of upcoming events and activities in the Shoe Fly community calendar.
That's it. It's a wrap on this episode of Art.BSL, the podcast with a finger on the pulse of the buzzingest arts and culture scene on the Gulf Coast. I'm your host, Steve Barney, the Mad Potter of Bay St. Louis, inviting you to join me and my illustrious team of insiders, wise guys, and know-it-alls every week as we take a deep dive journey into what's happening in Old Town, the Depot District, and all across the coast. So thanks for listening and see you next week for another episode of Art.BSL.